I'm David Schreiner-Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Rob Dubay. From Blow Pops to Forbes' Best Small Companies, Rob started selling Blow Pops out of his locker in high school, and now he's president and co-founder of Image One, which was ranked on the 2017 list of Forbes' Small Giants, America's Best Small Companies. Throughout Rob's 26 years of experience, he has developed an unwavering passion for delivering extraordinary experiences that positively impact the lives of his team members, the goals of their customers, and the fabric of the community. A unique approach to business that has driven the company to success in its industry and as a top workplace. Image One is the leading organization in document lifecycle management and is well known as an exceptional company, receiving local and national recognition for its strong focus on culture. Rob is an avid meditator of 12 years, the author of Do Nothing, The Most Rewarding Leadership Challenge You'll Ever Take, which was recently released, and an organizer of the Do Nothing Leadership Silent Retreat. Rob, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
I'd love to start off by hearing a little bit about your experience as an entrepreneur. Clearly, you started pretty young. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. When I was in grade school, I met my best friend, who later became my business partner, Joel Perlman. And in high school, we started selling Blow Pop lollipops out of our locker. We would buy them by the case. They equated to a nickel each, and we'd sell them for a quarter out of our locker during lunch. We literally had kids lined up and down the hallway waiting for us to get to our locker so we could sell them those Blow Pops. Great profit margin, great product, and a lot of fun. So that got our entrepreneurial juices flowing. We did all kinds of things through high school and in college. And when we were getting ready to graduate college, Joel read a small little classified ad in the back of a magazine about this new emerging technology called laser printers. And the ad was for people to get trained on how to remanufacture these expensive toner cartridges that go into those printers. And being young and not thinking too much and just very excited at the prospect of starting our own business, we jumped in, we got trained, and we ended up remanufacturing toner cartridges out of our basement right out of college. Our business has changed a lot since that time, but those were our roots.
So you have essentially stayed within the same industry.
I have been in the same industry since I graduated college.
Now, it's also an industry that has changed a lot over a short period of time.
Yes, it has quite a bit. So we don't even sell remanufactured toner cartridges anymore, just to put some perspective on it. We manage print environments for medium to enterprise size organizations, and we also provide software to help them save more money, be more efficient, and ensure that they have the proper security in place. These printer devices are like mini computers now, and so you have to be very careful with what's going in and out of those devices. So yes, it's changed quite a bit from the early days.
Right. So Rob, when you're in an industry that has rapid changes, what are some of the keys one needs to keep in mind if one wants to continually smash the plateaus that probably come at a fairly rapid clip?
It's a great question. And when I was thinking about what you and I would be talking about today, I was thinking about plateaus and how often they come. I went back and I looked at my vision and goals over the years and some of the vision traction organizers, which are our strategy documents here at Image One. And I noticed a trend of somewhere around every 2 to 4 years, there's a plateau, and then we have to break through a ceiling. And so the technology is changing very rapidly, and we just have to be at the forefront of it with our partners, understanding and listening intently to what our customers are telling us. Really, really listening is key there. Asking the right questions, seeing where their businesses are going and what their thought processes are, because that helps us make the right decisions to break through the ceilings and be ready for them when they're ready to make changes in their organizations.
Now, you know, you just said something really interesting, Rob, about listening to customers. I know that many business owners find it challenging to ask their customers, particularly what may be questions that where it's kind of hard to listen to the answer because it might be critical of what you're currently selling. What have you found to be some of the best ways to get information from your customers?
That's a great question. One of our values at Image One is that we are open and honest, and we work with integrity, humility, and vulnerability. And the biggest gift that I feel I can get from a strong relationship with our customers is that they will be honest with me, and that I can receive the information that they are giving me in the right way. And I want it. I always think to myself, if we send a survey or if we're having a conversation face-to-face or over the phone or via email with a customer, if they aren't giving me the truth, then I'm at a disadvantage. So I want to know really the exact things that are going on in their organizations and the things that we're not doing right. I love the critical information. It's so valuable. So I think being a strong listener, a critical listener, and being able through being through listening critically, being able to be in tune with asking the right follow-up questions is very important. Because on the surface, it may start off to be, hey, no, you guys are a wonderful vendor. We enjoy working with you, which I'm sure is all true. But let's start going a little bit deeper about what's going on in their business environment and some of the challenges that they're experiencing that maybe during the course of our conversation, maybe they just don't feel like getting into it in terms of some of the things that we may or may not be doing well for them. But by digging deeper and asking those critical questions, you can uncover where the opportunities and the challenges are.
And Rob, have you found that there are some methods that are better than others at trying to ask those questions?
I think just being authentic is the best way to go about it. I don't think about it so much in terms of methods. I think about it in terms of we're two humans sitting across from each other, next to each other, and we're just trying to get stuff done. My stuff's different than their stuff, and some of our stuff comes together. And so let's just have super open, honest, vulnerable conversations with each other about what's going on. That's all I can ever ask for. I'll give you the truth. You give me the truth. We'll do the best that we could do to make things right or improve upon them or build on our relationships, whatever they might be. And I think that's all we can ask of each other.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the maybe unexpected things that you've heard from customers that have put you in a position where you were able, as a result of the information, you were able to either serve them better, pivot into a new offering, or do something where you were able to do a better job of solving problems they were facing, and also it was helpful to your business at the same time?
Sure. Well, you know, traditionally, we sell service and supply print devices, multifunction printers, multifunction copiers, scanners, things of that nature. So it's a hardware and service related business. Well, by asking critical questions, having those authentic and deep relationships with our customers, we began to uncover some of the opportunities that would come toward to us in terms of where their businesses were going. For example, digital workflow, security of the devices. Those are two great examples of a shift that we had to make for the positive getting into the software solutions business, which we started a separate division approximately 3.5 years ago and has done very well for us because we were listening to our customers and we realized that print is changing. The way people go about that day-to-day activity is different than it used to be, and we needed to be ready for them when they were ready to shift into a more digital environment. And we've been able to do that through really good questions, really good listening, and now being able to provide them with those types of solutions.
So what's different about the way people print now than they did 3.5-4 years ago?
Well, we're educating them, oftentimes our customers, educating the end users, the users of the print devices, to be more thoughtful about what they're printing and how they're printing. For example, sometimes people will go into a meeting with a large presentation that's printed entirely in color and have 10 copies for all the people in the room. And let's just say the presentation's 20 pages. So that's 200 pages that were printed in color. And that's a very expensive way to start off the meeting. You could do that electronically by sending it in advance. A lot of people bring laptops to meetings now and they can view that. They can also prepare in advance by taking a look at it on their computer before coming into the meeting. You could print the presentation in mono or black and white. That would save a tremendous amount of money, and some people don't think about that. A couple of other smaller but nonetheless very impactful examples are printing emails. That's happening much less than it used to, but when it did, sometimes there'd be a hyperlink in an email. That hyperlink is in color, which means the company gets charged for a color print on this very simple email that was printed. And when you have enough people in your organization doing that, it adds up quick. Lastly, one of the most popular things for people to print are recipes and directions. And you would think that that would not be the case, but it is. And those are usually printed also in color. So I don't think organizations mind too much that people are printing, let's just say, recipes, but let's just give them the knowledge that if they could do it in black and white or mono, it would save the company a lot more money.
And what kinds of, who's your target audience? What are the typical characteristics of your customers?
We work with IT directors, chief information officers, and facility managers in medium to enterprise-sized organizations. A medium-sized organization would typically spend about $50,000 or so per year on print. And so that's kind of where we start. And goal is we have Fortune 100 companies that we work with that spend an awful lot more than that per year.
And is location an issue, or are you independent?
No, we're location independent, and we have people in 26 states.
What do you think is coming up in the near future in the print industry?
Well, as I mentioned before, document workflow is really emerging. So not printing, for example, invoices, accounts payable are simple things that we look to, where maybe these things used to get printed and be sent around an organization for sign-off. Nowadays, we can do that all electronically, and it's much more efficient. So I think that's a key piece to it. Millennials are very comfortable not printing. They actually prefer not to. So that generation coming up, you know, they're not even thinking about printing. They want it right on their computer, right on their laptop, or any other device they might be carrying around. So those are some of the things that we're seeing that are emerging.
It sounds great. And then, Rob, how have you learned the business strategy that you've used so successfully time and again to smash plateaus?
Well, the first 10 years, we were like a fish out of water. We really didn't have great strategy whatsoever. We were tripping over ourselves. And around that time, in the first 10 years, we made an acquisition of a very small IT services company. And about 3 to 4 months into that acquisition, we had the previous owner came in and was working for us and a couple of his key employees. We quickly learned that, first of all, this company serviced a much different target market than we did. So strategically, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. That business was much different than our business. Again, strategically, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. We didn't really think it through. We looked at it at a very high level and thought, oh, this is a no-brainer. Our customers have print devices, which means they have computers and servers. This will work out great. So 3-4 months into it, we realized it wasn't going great in the way we had envisioned. I think recognizing those things quick is a good thing, and I'm glad we did. A friend of ours introduced us to a person by the name of Gino Wickman and said, you know, you ought to run that by him. He's got a good voice of reason. And he came in and he spent a little time with us, and he gave us some great advice, and that was the best organizations that he sees are extremely focused on their core competencies. And we took that advice to heart, and we undid the acquisition that we had made with that IT services company at the expense of our ego, and unfortunately at the expense of personally of the organization that we had brought in. They didn't want to buy it back, so they had to go out and find jobs. So it was disruptive for their personal lives and their professional lives, which was difficult for us at that time. But we learned a great lesson, and we've been focused ever since. Gino, at the time, happened to be introducing a consulting service, which has grown quite a bit since that time, and it was called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. He wrote a book called Traction, and I highly encourage anybody who has not read that book to go out and make a purchase and read it. It's fantastic, and it teaches you how to run your business. It's a system for running the business. It starts with everything from your core values to how to work with people, to having the right meeting rhythms in place to ensure that you are on track with your long-term and your short-term strategies, and how to use data in the right way to make good decisions for your business. And that was a game changer for us. We embraced it. We got everybody in lockstep at the company within a couple of years. A lot of clarity, clarity on the future, as well as the steps that we needed to take in the short term to get there. And we just ran and have been running the EOS process very successfully ever since that time.
You know, I think a lot of business owners, particularly those that run small businesses and solopreneurs, don't realize how critical systems and data are to the operation of their business. It's not just big companies that need to pay attention to systems and data to be successful.
You are so right about that. In fact, in 2004, we were approached by a public company who we coincidentally beat out at a large hospital system in another city. And they were scratching their heads that this little company in Detroit had won the contract over them. And when they came to us, they had a curiosity about how we were doing things, and one thing led to another, and they made an offer to acquire our company, which we later agreed to. During that process, we were asked to come down and meet, go down to Florida to meet with their executive team and their board of directors. And I asked the president, what exactly would you like me to talk about? And he said, just tell them how you're running the business. So I put together a talk track, which really took this group of people through the EOS process and how we were using that at Image One. At the end of the meeting, the president came up to me and said, first of all, that went great. And already the people at the meeting are talking about how well run of a company that you are. We don't see that in smaller companies when we make acquisitions. The second thing is we need to do this at our company. And I laughed because, you know, they were $1 billion plus company with 3,000 team members. And, you know, here we were at the time, we were just, you know, such a small company. And, you know, he even saw the value in it for them at their size.
Yeah, it's a great story and a great example. Rob, whom do you know personally who's done a remarkable job at smashing plateaus?
Well, I'm always marveling at people who set out goals and execute them to a T. A good friend of mine, a member of our advisory board, is Paul Spiegelman. And Paul had a company in Dallas called Beryl. They were a call center for healthcare, the healthcare industry. And he set his sights on growing his business to a certain size, maintaining the culture at a very, very high level, and eventually exiting, which he did very successfully. And so Paul is really a great friend and a mentor, and watching him execute on that plan has been remarkable. So he's one that comes to mind right off the bat.
Yeah, great example. Rob, what's coming up in the near future? What do we have to look forward to from you?
Well, I have a book coming out called Do Nothing, The Most Rewarding Leadership Challenge You Will Ever Take. And I'm really looking forward to getting that out into the leadership community. A few years back, I was getting ready to attend a conference, and the organizer of the conference knew that I was a meditator, and she asked if I wouldn't mind doing a 10 or 15 minute talk on my journey and how meditation has been impactful for me as a leader. And I reluctantly agreed to lead a session, telling a little bit about my story and do a short meditation with the group. And to my surprise, following my talk, there was an outpouring of people that were coming up to me asking for more information, asking if we could get together for coffee or a phone call to discuss the topic further. And I realized that there was a real thirst for this topic. And the next year, I was asked to do this again at a conference. The response was very similar. And somebody said to me at one point, "You should consider writing a book." And I thought about that. And at the end of 2016, I decided to do it. And I spent all of 2017. And I'm just very proud to say that it was released in February, and you can find it on Amazon, and would love for you to check it out and let me know what your thoughts are on it. As a different approach to be truly present, truly aware with our team members is the best gift that we can give them. And meditation gives us the clarity of mind and the calmness to be able to do that.
Well, Rob, congratulations on the publication of your book. How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Well, they could go to my website, donothingbook.com. They'll find information about the book, and you can purchase it there. You'll find information and a quick downloadable PDF on how to get started, a quick start guide for meditation for leaders. You can find out information on having me speak. And then finally, you'll find out information about a silent leadership retreat that I've organized taking place April 23rd to the 26th in the mountains of Colorado outside of Fort Collins. And this is a 4-day silent leadership focused retreat for leaders and entrepreneurs all over the world. We have a few spaces left, and it's going to be a very interesting and different experience that will help leaders break through their plateau.
Rob, it sounds like a great experience, and also the way this has evolved and that your book has evolved really speaks to the power of listening to your customers, as we talked about earlier in the episode. So thank you so much for sharing that and for coming on Smashing the Plateau today. My guest today has been Rob Dubay, co-founder and president of Image One. Thank you again, Rob, for joining us.
Thank you, David.